Well, we're talking this morning about bearing one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. It's sometimes a difficult thing to do. Sometimes it's easier than others, but bearing others' burdens and allowing them to bear our burdens at times when we're overburdened. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Paul writes there, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each shall bear his own load." Now, in the King James, this is the New King James Version. In the King James Version, in verse 2 it says burdens, and then it also says in verse 5, burden. But those are actually two different Greek words. Because they say, well, bear one another's burdens, bear your own burden. How's that work? But they're actually two different Greek words. And the latter one, where it says, "For each shall bear his own load," talks about you carry your normal everyday pack. You carry what you're supposed to carry. Jesus said, "Take up your cross daily and follow me." You carry that every day. That's your share of the load. That's your part. You do that. You carry that. But then he had said back in verse 2, bear one another's burdens. And the word burdens there in the Greek is a word that indicates not just the normal everyday difficulties that we all face and that we're all used to, but this is something where something is out of the norm. Someone is overburdened. There's more loaded on them than they're used to or even than they're capable of carrying. And anyone, no matter how strong the person is, can get to the point that they can't carry the whole world. And so sometimes we all get in that position where, yeah, I can handle my regular everyday, day-to-day difficulties. But then something overwhelming comes. Have you had that happen? I have. Where, you know, I was going along pretty good. I could handle what was happening just day-to-day, my normal things, but then some overwhelming things happened and just couldn't bear that at that point in time. I think most of us have experienced that feeling of being burdened like that. It's more than just the regular load that we're called on to carry. Our van felt that way on this trip that we took. I know it's not a person, but I'm sure if it had feelings, it would have felt that way. I could tell because instead of the usual gas mileage, it got about a third less. You know, it just couldn't pull with all that extra weight and everything. It was overburdened. And then, of course, we were going up into some mountains, too, and that didn't help. And so we all feel that way sometimes. We're going uphill, and we're trying to pull a heavy load, and we just want to collapse. We just get pulled down by that, worn down by that. And maybe we've carried it for a little while, but it's just so heavy. Well, see, Paul indicates here that there are many times when there are people's burdens that become so heavy that they actually may even be overtaken in a sin because of it. He said that back in verse 1. He said, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, restore such a one. Bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Because Christ doesn't want someone to become so overburdened with the troubles and cares and problems that they're facing that they leave the church, that they leave Him and His saving grace. And yet sometimes that happened. In the parable of the sower, it talks about that seed that fell in the thorny ground. The ground was good ground. It was someone with a good heart. It was fertile soil. But as the seed, the word grew up, there were also some worldly cares and troubles and problems that grew up with it, and they became overwhelmed. The good seed couldn't grow because the weeds overcame it. And we may be that. We may be good people, and they have good hearts. We may be trying to serve God, But sometimes the problems may overwhelm us, and we may be overtaken in a sin, and we may fall because of the load we're trying to carry that's too much for us. And that's when others need to step in and help carry that heavy load. When we help our brethren or sisters, I know we use the term brethren generically many times for brothers and sisters, but when we help with their burdens, we help keep them from falling away from the faith. When it's too much for somebody for too long a period of time, they just throw up their hands and quit, and they say, well, I'd be better off out there in the world. If I'm going to have these problems and trying to be a Christian, I'll just give up. Well, think of those from the church here who are unfaithful now. Is it possible that they had some burdens to bear that overwhelmed them? Now, maybe we don't know what burdens they might have had. And that's one of the things, you know, we can't know what someone doesn't share with us, what someone doesn't tell us. We can't always know what everything that's going on in everyone else's life and in their mind and in their heart, and we don't know how things are affecting them. But it's a possibility that some have fallen away because they've been overwhelmed by some burdens they had in their life. And we need to do everything we can to try to help bear those burdens. Now, I know it can be difficult because, remember, we are all supposed to also bear our own load. So it's hard to bear your own load and then help somebody else with theirs, isn't it? That's a struggle. And there will be times when we're so overloaded with our own burdens that we can't help someone else. We're just struggling to get along ourselves and make it. And there'll be times like that. And there'll be times where ours are so heavy, we need somebody to help us carry. But you know, it's an amazing thing. If you take one horse, I hate to compare us to horses, but if you take a horse that can pull 500 pounds, and you take another horse that can pull 500 pounds, and you know, if you yoke those two horses together, harness them together, how much can they pull? 1,000 pounds? Oh, well, sure. But they can pull more than that. It's been said that those two horses, I suppose it differs with horses one to the other to some degree, but those horses may be able to pull as much as 1,800. Almost twice as much as the two of them separately could pull. Now, why is that? I wish I had an answer. I don't know. But it's a term they call synergy. When you combine your forces, put things together, and you're able to accomplish more because of that. And that's what God intends for us in the church. If each of us individually is carrying our own load, oh, how hard that is. But you know, if we all work together and help carry each other's burdens, and spread the weight of that thing around, it's not nearly as hard as we thought it would be if we do it together. Now, of course, that means when we have burdens, we've got to let others know that we're struggling with those things. And that's tough because in our society, it's a very individualistic, I can stand on my own two feet, I can do it myself, I'm a self-made man. I don't need any help from anybody. I can do it all by myself. But the fact of the matter is, we can't do it all by ourselves. We have to have each other supporting. We have to be supporting each other along the way in order for it to work. But then, how do we respond to people who have burdens, and maybe even to people who have so many burdens that they've been overtaken in a sin? Do we ignore them? Do we criticize them? Do we shame them? Do we talk about them, gossip about them behind their back? Do we shun them? Do we judge them? I think probably we're tempted to do a lot of those things. We don't want to get involved. It's a problem. We don't want to get over there and get in the middle of their mess. And so we just leave them to it. Sometimes we do criticize them. It's easy to do. It's easy looking in from the outside at somebody else's life to think we've got the solution to all their problems when we can't see the many problems in our own lives, isn't it? It's easy. It's easy to talk to other people about it. Oh, well, you know what, so-and-so, oh, can you believe they're doing this and that? Now, there's times when somebody's struggling that we need to talk to other people about it in an effort to help. But what we're talking about here, it's not when we're trying to help. You know, it's not, well, you know, so-and-so's got this right. You know, what can we do to help? Somebody can do this. And say, okay, I'll do this and you do that and we'll get together and help. That's not what we're talking about. This is just can you believe, did you hear what, and whispering and gossiping and backbiting and that's not good. Instead of talking about them, we ought to be talking to them to see what we can do to help. Sometimes we just shun them or just, don't even want to know what's going on. One of the things that the book of Proverbs said as we studied through it was that the wicked man refuses to acknowledge the problems of the poor, particularly, he said. But, you know, that's one of the things that we tend to ignore problems. You look at the parable that Jesus told of the Good Samaritan. What was the problem there with those first two guys, the priest and the Levite? They walked by on the other side of the road. They just wanted to ignore the burdens of this poor fellow. He'd been beaten and robbed and left for dead, and they just shunned him. They just went away. What if he's already dead? And if I touch that dead body, then I'll be unclean. So I can't have anything to do with that. And, you know, so they just shunned him. They were so concerned about themselves that they didn't want to have anything to do with his problems. And we have that tendency too. And then sometimes we judge. Well, you know, I wouldn't do that. And it's easy to do that. We all think we have I don't know about you. You know, I have opinions about just about everything. And if there's something I don't have an opinion about, if you'll mention it to me, I'll have an opinion about that too. It may just be that I don't even want to know about that or don't even want to talk about that. That may be my opinion. But I'll have an opinion. And all of us have opinions about everything. We all have things we think about certain things. And it becomes a problem though would we have that opinion if we didn't think it was the right one? I mean, that's the way opinions work. I don't have an opinion that I think is wrong. If I thought it was wrong, I'd have a different opinion about it. Don't keep the ones that I think are wrong. And we're all that way. We don't keep opinions. Well, I know this is wrong, but I'm going to think this way anyway. Well, no. We say, you know, I think this is right, and that's why I think this way. And so then when somebody else thinks differently, we have a tendency to judge them. It's easy to do. Or do we offer to help them with their burden? What do we do? Well, here's some things the Bible says about bearing burdens. In Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 4, Jesus condemned the scribes and Pharisees for a lot of different things, but this was one of them. In verse 4 particularly, he said, "They bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." Can you imagine doing that? Just taking all sorts of burdens and heaping it up on somebody till they're about to collapse. But you wouldn't even lift one of those burdens with your pinky finger. You wouldn't even try to help. That's what he said about the scribes and Pharisees. That's the way they were. We don't need to be like that. But sometimes, I'm afraid, we do have a tendency toward that kind of thinking. Luke chapter 11 and verse 46, Jesus said, "Woe to you also, lawyers, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers." Same concept that he says there. This time the lawyers, not the scribes and Pharisees, but the lawyers. They all were involved in this. All of the religious leaders of the Jews at the time that, and not each individual, but all of the groups, were doing these things. They were making all sorts of additional rules and regulations beyond what God had commanded for everybody else to have to do, but they wouldn't do it themselves. They exempted themselves from having to follow it. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like anything maybe our Congress might do? Make all sorts of laws that everybody else has to keep, but then they exempt themselves from it and they don't have to keep that law. You know, it's okay for there to be laws, but what's a law for one should be the law for all. You shouldn't have this one group that gets exempted and they don't have to keep the law. They get to do whatever they want to do, and everybody else, and they keep, because hey, if it's that way, it's easy to pile up all those laws on everybody else. But if you have to abide by the same rules and regulations that you're trying to impose on others, you'll quickly realize, well, you know, I don't know if we need that law because I don't want to have to live by it. I don't know if we need that regulation because I don't want to have to deal with that. But it's amazing how easy it is when you've exempted yourself from having to follow those rules and regulations to tell everybody else how to do it and what all they've got to do. We see that in government. Well, the children of Israel, their religious leadership, it was no different. And in some churches, the same thing could be said of the leadership of that church. That they make all sorts of things for everybody to have to do, but then they don't feel like they have to do it themselves. And that's a sad thing. It shouldn't be that way. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Of course, the reason that his yoke is easy and his burden is light is that unlike the scribes and Pharisees and lawyers, even though Jesus does have, and as we've been studying through the Sermon on the Mount, and as we continue to study through the Gospels, we'll see Jesus certainly has some commandments for us. He certainly has rules and regulations, if you will, things that we're expected to do, but he doesn't expect us to carry them alone. He's right there with us sharing the load, and that makes all the difference. It makes it so much easier to share the load when you know that Jesus never asks us to do anything that He Himself was not willing to do first. He never gives us a command and says, "Oh yeah, but when I was on earth, I didn't have to live by that. I didn't have to do that." He struggled through the same struggles we struggle with. And He abided by God's law. In fact, He did it perfectly. And so He's there to help us share that load. We're yoked together with Him. Isn't that wonderful? And then Romans chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification." Now, notice that it doesn't just say please your neighbor no matter what. It says please your neighbor for his good, leading to edification. So, you know, your neighbor says, "Hey, you know, I really want to get drunk this weekend. Will you buy the liquor for me?" Well, no, that's not for his good. So I don't please my neighbor that time. But if my neighbor says, "You know, I had this question about the Bible, and I wanted to ask somebody about it." Well, then I'm glad to please my neighbor about that. My neighbor says, "You know, I'm going to be gone out of town. Can you keep an eye on my house?" Well, I'll please my neighbor about that. But not about something that would be sinful. Please your neighbor for his good, leading to edification. Things that are going to be helpful and good. Those are the ways that we please our neighbor. Not any way that would violate God's law. But then he says, verse 3, "For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me." Christ bore some burdens that weren't really his to bear. He died for sins that weren't his sins. He shouldered a cross that wasn't his to bear. He shouldn't have ever had to bear that cross. I know they found the Simon of Cyrene to carry it for him, but he should have never been having to carry it in the first place. But you know, isn't that something? Jesus, the Son of God, even in his life, there came a time where he had a burden to carry that was too much for him and somebody else had to carry it for him. He bore his cross for a portion, but it became too much for him and they compelled someone else to carry it for him. Even Jesus, even the Son of God. If Jesus needed help to carry a burden? Who do we think we are that we think, well, I can do it by myself, I never need any help? Who do you think you are? We all need help from time to time. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Well, let's think about just quickly some types of burdens we can help bear. There are obviously physical burdens. That's what Simon the Cyrene helped Jesus with, was a physical burden. Burdens like moving, yard work, maybe caring for someone who is elderly or ill. That, you know, sometimes a caregiver needs a break, needs somebody else to watch someone for them so they can have some time to go and do something else. Those kind of things. Those are physical burdens that need to be taken care of. There may be emotional burdens. Death, loneliness, stress, divorce, separations, all sorts of emotional problems. We're just listing a few here. But there are a lot of emotional burdens that may be overwhelming to someone. There are financial burdens. Someone may have overwhelming debt. Someone may have the destruction of property because of, you know, a fire or a flood or, you know, whatever, a wind storm. You know, there may be financial expenses involved with that. It may be a car wreck and their insurance didn't cover it all or something like that. There are family expenses, family needs and struggles that they may have, and some of these may go back to something like divorce or death, where because someone who was counted on for their income is no longer there. And even though, you know, maybe they were supposed to get child support, but maybe they didn't get the child support, and maybe they're hurting because of that. They need financial help. There are spiritual burdens. A newborn Christian has burdens of trying to learn a whole new way of life. There are weaknesses, temptations that each of us struggles with that are a burden to us. That, you know, why does the Bible talk about the fact that we should confess our faults to one another? I know we shy away from that, we're scared to do that, but sometimes we need to share with others the fact that we're weak in this area and we need help and we need their strength to overcome it. Maybe someone has non-Christian family members or unfaithful family members that is a burden to them. There are social burdens. Singles who don't have a family, they still need human interaction. They can't just live off by themselves forever. They still need people to talk to and to spend time with. Single parents, certainly, trying to raise children alone. That's quite a struggle. Certainly it wasn't God's plan to be that way. He intended for there to be a father and a mother, but sometimes there's not. And they need some help. It's a struggle. And then, of course, because of the death, there are widows and widowers who need some friendship. They need some encouragement. Sometimes someone may just be shy, or maybe their social skills weren't developed very well, and so they struggle in social situations. They have difficulty communicating. They have difficulty getting along with people because of that. And they may need someone to help. Kind of like Moses couldn't talk well. And so God sent Aaron to be his spokesman for him. Aaron apparently was a pretty good, outgoing, talk really good kind of guy, and Moses struggled with that. So God sent Aaron to help bear that burden for Moses so that they could get along together. Somebody recently was talking about that, and they said, well, you know, because we think sometimes that Moses was just making an excuse when he said, I can't talk well. But if he was making an excuse, God would have said, quit making excuses and go do what I told you to do. It was a true, real problem he had. He said, I'm slow of speech. I don't know if that meant that he stuttered or if he had some sort of speech impediment of some kind. I don't know what exactly it was, but apparently he did literally have some sort of speech problem. And so God sent him someone to help bear that burden for him. If it was just an excuse, God never accepts excuses. Now, Ananias, when God told him, go over there to that Saul guy. He tried to use an excuse. He said, well, yeah, but that was the guy that's persecuting Christians. God said, yeah, no, go. He doesn't accept excuses. So Moses apparently had a legitimate reason that he was bringing up, a legitimate problem. And God understood that, and God took that into account and provided a way to help bear that burden. God will provide us with help, and that help most of the time will come from others in the church. Other Christians will help us bear those burdens. Then there are mental burdens. An ignorance of the Word. We talked about the newborn Christian. Sometimes, you know, the babe in Christ, they've learned enough to become a Christian, but there's a lot about the Word they don't know. And so that can still be a burden for them mentally. And sometimes someone may feel inferior to others or things like that because, well, I don't know as much of the Bible as so-and-so does. We'll keep learning and growing. But we need to help with that. Help them learn more of the Bible. Then, of course, there are fears. They may be baseless fears. They may be. But those fears still have a very real impact on the mind of an individual and what they're willing to do or not willing to do. There may be doubts, questions. You know, as we study the Bible, there will be things that we wonder about. Well, what does that mean? How did that happen? And we need to be able to find answers to those things. There may be misunderstandings. It is the nature of verbal communication that there are going to be misunderstandings. Either someone said something wrong, something they didn't mean, that they said something the wrong way. Sometimes they may have said something meaning one thing, but it was understood meaning something different. There's all sorts of things like that happen. And it may become a burden on the person's mind. Oh, because of a misunderstanding between these individuals. All of these ways we've looked at, I know that all of us have times where we struggle with some of these areas, and all of us have times where we have those around us who are struggling with some of these areas. And the way that the body of Christ is intended to work is that when one portion is weak, the others that are strong help it, and when that other area may be weak, then the other areas help it, and we work together to be stronger. Our unity and our synergism, as we talked about that synergy earlier, that we're working together, we can accomplish more than we could separately. And we can do that. So what is your attitude toward those who have burdens? Do you judge them and talk about why they should have taken care of themselves and prevented this burden from ever being there in the first place? What if Jesus took the same kind of attitude toward us and our burden of sin that we take toward others and their struggles and their burdens that they're facing? See, Paul says here in Galatians that we need to be burden bearers, not burden analyzers. We're not trying to figure out how they came upon this burden or how this burden came upon them at that point. We just help them carry it. Now, it's possible that there may be some solutions down the road to help them from having that burden come back on them again. There may be some things they could do differently. That's fine and that's good. They may need to be taught some things to help keep that same thing from happening again. So they learn from those mistakes. I know we have studied this in another week, but we'll mention it again here. The man who fell into a pit. He couldn't get himself out. It was a deep pit. A subjective person came along and said, well, I feel for you down there. An objective person said, it's logical that someone would fall down in that pit. Pharisee said, only bad people fall into pits. Mathematician calculated how he fell into the pit and how hard he hit the bottom. A news reporter wanted the exclusive story of the pit. Confucius said, if you had listened to me, you wouldn't be in that pit. Buddha said, "Your pit is only a state of mind." A realist said, "That's a pit." Scientists calculated the pressure necessary in pounds per square inch to get him out of the pit. A geologist told him, "Well, while you're down in that pit, appreciate the rock strata around you." An evolutionist said, "Well, you're a rejected mutant, destined to be removed from the evolutionary cycle. In other words, you'll die in the pit, so you won't be able to produce any pit-falling offspring in the future." The county inspector asked if there was a permit to dig that pit. Professor gave him a lecture on pits. An evasive person came along and just avoided talking about the pit at all. A self-pitying person said, "Well, you haven't seen anything till you've seen my pit." An optimist said, "Things could be worse." A pessimist said, "Things will get worse. Looks like it's going to rain." Jesus, seeing the man, took him by the hand and lifted him out of the pit. Now, which of these individuals are we more like? Are we going to be like Jesus and pick somebody up, help pull them up out of that pit? Or are we going to be like one of these other individuals? The choice is ours. What will we do? What would we want someone to do for us when we're the one in the pit? We're all there sometimes. We're all in the pit sometimes. How would we want someone else to treat us? And that should determine how we would treat them. Are you a burden bearer or a burden analyzer? Do you have burdens that you need to turn over to Jesus, or burdens that we as your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ can help you to bear today? If you have a need to respond to the invitation, either in initial obedience to Jesus to have Him help you remove the greatest burden of all, one that no person on earth can bear alone, and that being the burden of sin in your life. If you believe that He is the Son of God and are willing to repent of your sins and confess Him as the Christ, the Son of God, and be buried with Him in baptism, He can wash those sins away so that they will never bother you again. But perhaps you are a Christian, but you're struggling with a burden that's too much for you to bear, and you need the prayers of the church, or maybe you need more than prayers. Maybe you need some actual intervention physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. Maybe you really need someone in the church to step in and give you a hand. Then perhaps you too may need to respond as we stand.